Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We are positively into a fun homestand. I don't want to go all Chuck Thompson or get Rex Barney on you or, even Bailey Goss, but saying these are the good times. This doesn't get any better than this. First place at home, all-star break. We've had all-stars. Luke and I have had a long conversation about Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and Corbin Burns and the snubs and the perceived snubs and the West Coast trip and the Oakland A's, the Sacramento, the Las Vegas. Maybe go back to Kansas City or Philadelphia. Who knows? Maybe they'll wind up in Louisville as Charlie Finley once tried to take them there. But on Friday, the New York Yankees will be here. And if we stay on schedule here, they're going to be in second place. That was a big mystery last week as the 4th of July. It feels like the Orioles are going to be in first place this week. The Yankees are coming to town. We'll have the Gold Rush Sevens doublers. We'll have these at Fadley's. Yes, I'm wearing my Coco shirt. I'm wearing my Coco shirt because the air conditioner went out on Marcella again on Saturday afternoon on a 100-degree day. Guess who else the air conditioner went out on? Nestor and Jen this weekend. So big shout out to Martin Knott. Getting it done over there. My man Jalen putting coils together and Freon all over the place. But I had the same problem I had over Coco's. They got it together over there. We have plenty of air conditioning and probably a lot of hot air as well with the Yankees fans in town. We'll be down at Fadley's from 2 until 5. I will have the aforementioned Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. Our friends at Jiffy Lube Multicare putting us out on the road. Make sure your car doesn't overheat. And Liberty Pure Solutions, which is kept me very cool and refreshed. Even my ice cubes are like really crystal clear, pure water. That's Liberty Pure Solutions. And I'll be talking more about them out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour where Luke and I are getting together this week. We're going to get together again a little later on. We're going to have a whole Crab Cake Tour schedule. We're going to have an Oyster Tour schedule down at Ocean City for Mako in a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, Luke's about to get off to Wildwood and get his Max Pizza thing going, which I love because Mac was my dad's name. So every time I see that, I have to smile. But before the All-Star break and all this nonsense that's going to happen here with home run derbies and Arlington and this one really counts and all of that stuff and who gets snubbed and how Craig Kimbrell winds up on a plane to Dallas before it's all over with probably anyway, I want to leave it to you on the trading deadline controversies on the back end of 4-2 on the West Coast and the lowly Cubs coming to town here. Trading deadline, Mike Elias, expectations. Let's reset this as we get to the All-Star break for where they are. No Bradish, no Wells, no Means. Where they might be. Bullpen's been okay on the West Coast, maybe okay. Saturday aside and the mess with Cade Povich. But Luke, you and I've done, we've a lot of oxygen on this, right? They got a lot of work to do. Feels like Mike Elias has some heavy lifting here the next couple of weeks while you're doing 12-ounce arm curls down in Wildwood with your brother.
Well, it's a lot of work to do, but let's frame this in the appropriate manner. It's a lot of work to do because it's such a great opportunity. The Orioles could do nothing at the trade deadline and they're still going to be in the playoffs, right? So let's just, that's the caveat in understanding that you have an extraordinary opportunity here to augment this roster. And I think more specifically, this pitching staff.
Hang on one second. I just want to, I've owned the station 26 years, 33 years now. You said a sentence there that when I pulled that on the transcript on our Otter AI and put it out at Baltimore Positive, there's 4th of July, All-Star week here. Yankees coming in, sold out, all that. You just said no matter what they do, no matter what they do, they're making the playoffs. I don't even know if they said that in 69 at the All-Star break when there was only one representative. I don't know how big their lead was at that point. I haven't gone back and done the tape on that. I don't think that's ever been uttered on this radio station in all the years we've had it. Certainly you didn't utter it last year. That no matter what they do, they're making the playoffs. That's a full stop. That's crazy talk. It really is.
But it's not. I mean, because of how good they've been. And look, if you want to conjure some doomsday
scenario, I'm not
scenario,
saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's an incredibly lofty, not rarefied air. It's freaking Halley's Comet, dude. In 1979 at the All-Star break, we weren't making the playoffs. In 83 at the All-Star break, It wasn't we're just going to make the playoffs. It's who's going to come and get us, because we all saw Bucky Dent.
Right. And let's be clear. I don't say that with, you know, that I'm betting my mortgage on it in the sense that I'm not going to bet on anything that's truly.
You wouldn't get good odds on that, thing. Right? It wouldn't be a good bet.
Oh, of course. I mean, look, what the Royals, I think, are the first team that's out in the wild card race now. I think they're 9 or 10 games back of where the Orioles are at the moment. So, I mean, that's what you're talking about here. And this is the point I've been trying to make over and over and over with you, and not to convince you. I'm not talking about that, just in general, is we can talk all we want about Bradish and John Means and Tyler Wells. And look, did that hurt their upside? Of course. I mean, that's the Captain Obvious statement, and that's why we're talking about pitching so much. But those guys combined had made 15 starts, you know? It's not as though those three guys were the top three guys in their rotation, and then suddenly they lost them 3 weeks ago. I mean, this has been an ongoing thing of, you know, Tyler Wells made 3 starts in late March and early April, and then done for the year. John Means made 4 starts and was done in late May.
The weirdest part is Means and Bradish were good.
Sure.
This is different when you have a 7 ERA and your arm falls off and you lose velocity. They're throwing freaking no-hitters, and a week later they're on Tommy John.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it stinks.
They flashed number 2, 3, 4 October ability. They flashed the kind of ability that, quite frankly, dude, if they come up with anything that feels like what Bradish was or what Means has been whenever his arm's been right, they're not going to find anybody that good before the trading deadline.
Well, and that's, I'm glad you said that, because that kind of leads me into where I am with them, with their pitching right now. And I'll push back a little bit on, it's been a long time since John Means looked like that guy, right? I mean, he only made 4 starts last year. He only made 4 starts this year. He was good. He wasn't extraordinary. Kyle Bradish was looking as dominant, if not a little more dominant than he was last year. And he was one of the best pitchers in the American League last year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No question.
But where Rodriguez is heading right now into that air of,
possibly,
you know, not a 2, more like a 1.
I mean, I said this to you a few weeks ago. I mean, there is not a more important pitcher in the Orioles organization, major league or minor league, than Grayson Rodriguez right now, because of, one, how important he is to this year's team as the very serious number 2 behind Corbin Burnes, who, you know, of course, Corbin Burnes might be starting the All-Star game. You know, that news could be out there by the time you and I, or maybe he bows out. Who knows? I mean, we'll see. But point is, Grayson Rodriguez is so important to this year and also moving forward, because knowing that Corbin Burnes is going to be a free agent, and knowing that Kyle Bradish is, best case scenario, maybe he's back next August. I mean, that's what you're talking about here. So you have all kinds of question marks. So that's where it brings us back to what you just said about this trade deadline. And I made the point last week. I will continue to make this point. As much as the Orioles want to fortify their starting rotation, and yes, they need to fortify their starting rotation, I still think it's of the utmost importance that you don't pay a premium for more of the same. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the Orioles with all things being equal right now, who would you say their number 3 starter is? Now that he's back and he pitched well on his return, I think Dean Kramer kind of fits that mold, right? No disrespect to Albert Suarez, who's straighten himself back up after a couple bumps in the road there where you're starting to question. But, you know, he doesn't have as long of a track record, even if he's older, right? I mean, he's in his mid-30s.
He's but also thrown a lot more innings than any of these cats, right? Because he pitched through winter, right? Am I right in saying that?
I'm trying to think what – I mean, he was in the Orioles. He was with the Orioles. They signed him last September, actually. So he was in their fall instructional league. I can't remember what off the top of my head.
It just feels to me like his arm's been healthier longer and throwing longer. And all the rest of these guys have had shutdowns and a little bit of this. Not Burnes, but him specifically, I would think he had some dead arm. He's got to be tired at some point.
Well, and I think some of it is also, keep in mind, this is the first time in 7 years that he had been in the major leagues. So he's made some adjustments. Look, he's done a nice job for them. I think in a perfect world, in an ideal world where Kyle Bradish and John Means are still in the rotation, I think Albert Suarez, we're talking about him as maybe an eighth inning guy, but they've had the need for him to be a starter. So
dude, if
that's
Albert
what he's done.
Suarez had
But
to
the
start
point I was trying
game
to make
seven of the World
is,
Series for this franchise in October, I'd take my chances with that. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I would. I would take my chances with that.
I think you'd take your chances just because if you can assure that you're in game seven of the World Series, I mean, I'll take anyone.
Well, no
you know,
disrespect
because of
to
baseball,
Dave
you just
Johnson
don't know.
or, you know, anything that I've seen here. But like that, those kinds of pitchers that are on the fringe of would you want them starting, you know, that big of a game in that big of a circumstance? Because what we're talking about here is if he's their fourth starter, that, you know, that's what you're up against with rain and this and that and weather in October and late. Like Suarez would be a guy that I would say if he had to be that three in lieu of Kramer based on seniority and what I've seen and where his arm is, I lean more toward that than Povich or Irvin right now, right? For me.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're just talking about the internal options, yeah. But here's the point. I've kind of been dancing around, but I've thought about this a lot. You know, I thought about this a lot. You know, towards the end of the Seattle series last week, I thought about this on Friday night as the Orioles were trying to protect a narrow lead. And I even went back and looked at it. So I looked at the last 2 years of postseason baseball. I looked at the World Series participants in 22. So that was the Astros and the Phillies. And I looked at last year's World Series participants, the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. And I looked in that postseason, starting with the wild card series, if you're talking about teams that didn't have a bye, going all the way through the World Series. And you know what I did? I counted up.
Is this exclusive WNST Baltimore Positive research on behalf of Luke Jones?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that exciting, but sure, yeah. I mean, I did this.
Well,
I literally
read these game notes every night
notebook.
For all the nerdity of all of it and all the nerdity of Jason Stark for 50 years picking up nuggets. So this is your – I love this. You got me getting my Royal Farms coffee a little bit more warm right now. I'm paying attention.
But this is where we kind of go back to, look, we romanticize and we still do this today. And when I say we, I mean everyone as baseball fans and even analytics inclined individuals such as myself. I've viewed things. I barely even recite a pitcher's win-loss record at this point in time because it's just there are many, many more useful numbers out there to evaluate a pitcher's performance. But I went back and looked and as much as we all fantasize about Corbin Burns throwing eight shutout innings in game one of the ALCS or game one of the World Series, as much as we all think about the possibility of Grayson Rodriguez tossing seven innings of one run ball in game two of the LCS or game two of the World Series, I think you would find, and I think anyone who's think back to the last couple years and really the last 10 years. So, because it's really been trending in this direction more and more, those seven inning starts, you know, forget about complete games. Cause you never see those anymore, especially in October at this point in time. But even those seven inning starts, Nestor, there are not many of them. There are very, very, very few starting pitchers, even guys that would be considered all-star or above average starting pitchers that are being asked to go through a lineup three plus times in postseason games at this point in time. So I did this research, the Astros in 22, 3.77 relievers per game they used in the postseason that year. The Phillies in 22, four per game, four relievers they used in postseason games. And that was a Phillies team that, by the way, had Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola at the top of their rotation. So still using four relievers per game. Last year, the Rangers, we all talked about Eovaldi and Jordan Montgomery and how well they pitched for them. Still use 3.65 relievers per game in the postseason. Diamondbacks used 4.24. Diamondbacks were a little more statistically inclined than an old school, an older school Bruce Bochy, or even going back the year before that with Dusty Baker with the Astros and Rob Thompson with the Phillies. So, and look, those teams that I just mentioned all had good starting pitching. And yet they're still using roughly four relievers per game in October. So the point I'm trying to make here, Nestor, is, yeah, in an ideal world, I want to see the Orioles go out and get an upgrade for what their number three starter would be from Dean Kramer. And I think they very well will do that. However, is it going to be someone that's so much of an upgrade that you're going to ask them to do much more than going through a lineup twice in an October, in a playoff game? And that's where I have some question here. And that's where I keep saying, don't pay for a Ferrari. when what you're getting is more of a minivan or a useful SUV. And look, let's be very clear. The Orioles could use another minivan in their rotation, right? I mean, because of the unknown with Cade Povich alone right now, the unknown with, are these guys going to stay healthy? And to your point, Albert Suarez, I mean, how many innings can he throw? I mean, this is the first time he's been in the major leagues in 7 years, let alone pitching in a competitive postseason-minded starting rotation at this point in time. So they need reinforcements. Don't get me wrong about that. But at the same time, what exactly are you acquiring and what are you able to, what are you willing to give up to get that? And that's where, we've talked so much about
You
the
think
White
this is good
Sox,
enough, what they have right now?
I mean, look, I think, put it this way, if you're sitting here and you have the script for October, and you're telling me the Orioles get to the World Series, and let's say like it stops there, you don't know if they're going to win it, but they get to the World Series, I think it's still way, 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 way more about the guys that they have right now on this roster right now in this rotation right now doing it than whoever they're going to acquire. Now, I'll tell you the guy that I'd love to see them. People have talked about Crochet a lot, and there's a lot of risk there. There's so much unknown with the innings, the injury history, all of that. If you're talking about what the White Sox are potentially asking to get him, I would say at this point, look, I'm not holding my breath on this. I'm not going to be losing sleep thinking about this while I'm on vacation next
He's
week.
going somewhere, though,
But
right? Somebody's going to acquire him.
Maybe. I mean, at the same time, do we know that for sure, though? Because everyone assumed a year ago at this time that Dylan Cease would be dealt at the deadline last year, and they ended up holding on to him. Now, they dealt him in the winter, but the point is the White Sox were asking for the moon, and teams like the Orioles said, no, we're not giving you Jackson Holliday for Dylan Cease. Whether that ultimately ends up being smart or not, I mean, whatever, they weren't going to do it. But I think if you're going to tell me that the Orioles should push all in for Garrett Crochet, I'll say take it a step further and go offer the moon to the Tigers for Tarek Skubal, who has arguably been the best pitcher in the American League since over the last calendar year, and has a much more appealing profile to me, health-wise and innings-wise, and has 2 years of club control. Do I think the Tigers are going to trade him? Probably not. But if you're going to be willing to dangle the prospects that might get the White Sox attention to get, to get Crochet.
So what does that mean? Who are we dangling?
Oh, I mean,
Gerstadt, Mayo,
for Tarek Skubal, I mean, Mayo's going to be in that conversation. I mean, and I think what's interesting for the Orioles here, and we've talked about this in passing, but I think there's a and I'm not saying it's with the Tigers or with the White Sox, but we've talked about how wide the net is in terms of who could potentially be available, but also understanding that that net might not be as wide as you think with the second, the third wild card, right? And talking about teams that probably should be sellers. And 3 weeks ago, people were talking about, hey, maybe you can pluck Luis Severino from the Mets. Well, the Mets have played really well, and now they're right in the thick of the wild card race. And people are talking about them being a buyer now. So there's still so much of that. But I think what's unique here, and I talked about this a little bit with you in jest when we were previewing that Mariners series, and we saw it firsthand. The Mariners pitch, but they can't hit. I mean, their offense stinks. So how far is that pitching going to carry them, even if they make it into October? We romanticize the pitching side, and look, pitching is, I'm not going to sit here and say it's not important, but you got to be able to hit too. I mean, it's not as though you're going to be able to win 2-1 every night. I don't think any team can win like that consistently in October. And I think you've seen that the Rangers swung the bats really well last year. The Orioles saw that firsthand against them. And the year before that, I mean, the Astros and the Phillies swung the bats the way they did. So you need balance. And I think what's fascinating for the Orioles here, and this is a little bit outside the box, but we've talked about some of these veteran guys. We've talked about the roster logjam. And look, I don't know who the fit would be exactly, but I think when you're still 3 weeks out from the trade deadline, you're still speaking in such generalities and such hypotheticals because some of these teams right now that we're saying are going to be sellers, they're an 8-game winning streak away from being back in the wild card race, whether they should be a buyer or not, they could change their thinking on it. So I think there's also for the Orioles some unique opportunities, and I wouldn't put it past Mike Elias, although I'm not going to sit here and say that it's the most likely outcome. But is there a fit out there where you could acquire another team's starting pitcher and you actually deal a veteran bat? Like, for example, just an example, Ryan Mountcastle. Look, Ryan Mountcastle's had a good year. Don't, you know, I'm not, this isn't being down on him, but they have Ryan O'Hearn, who can also play first base and could be, you know, he's a left-handed bat, so is going to face most starters. And we've talked a lot about Coby Mayo, for example, who, by all accounts, seems like he's as ready can be. You know, is there a scenario? And look, this isn't dumping Ryan Mountcastle. This would be Ryan Mountcastle be included in a trade package to go get pitching. And then you, in the process, you've now opened a spot to add Coby Mayo to the mix. Again, is that your plan A? No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's another possibility here. So, you know, I think the Orioles, because of their system, because of some of the logjam that they have at the major league level right now, and we've talked about this a lot with, you know, we didn't even mention in our recap. I mean, Heston Kjerstad hits the big home run. Kjerstad at this point in time for right now, and that can change in 2 weeks. You know, he kind of feels like the guy that should be playing more so than Hayes and Kowser, let's say, quite as much. But 6 weeks ago, that was Colton Kowser, and Colton Kowser was on his way to being Rookie of the Year. So this is all fluid, but they just have so many resources to do, to make so many different potential trades. But that said, I don't want them to go out there and treat every potential trade target as though they're Tarek Skubal, right? Where okay, you are going to have to give up some premium, serious minor league talent to even get the Tigers to even dream about that. And again, I don't even know. I think the Tigers ultimately are going to say, no, we're going to hold on to that guy because we still believe in our young core, even though things haven't gone as well this year as we hoped. But, you know, I just think you, just because you have the resources doesn't mean that you lose all discipline and you just start trading for something that you make a move just to make the move. And okay, maybe it's a marginal upgrade over Dean Kramer, but it's still not a guy that's going to go seven innings in a postseason game. So, you know,
Dean Kramer doesn't suck. So if you're aiming better than Dean Kramer, so, if we dealt Dean Kramer right now, what would we want back?
Right. So here's the other part of it. Piggybacking on everything I just said, and I know that was a little long-winded, and look, I don't know who ultimately who's definitely going to be available. That's really moving the needle. That's why I said for people that keep saying Garrett Crochet, make the call to the Tigers and find out what would even get their attention about Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, and you're much more like, go get two relief pitchers, maybe three.
I was just going to say, so let's assume they're not getting Skubal. Let's assume they're not getting Garrett Crochet. Let's assume it's someone along the lines of the other White Sox pitcher who has had a really nice year, Eric Fetty, you know, someone like that, who he's had a better year than Dean Kramer. I'm not going to sit here and say Dean Kramer's better than that, but point is, do I think Eric Fetty's going to pitch seven innings in a postseason game? I'm guessing probably not. So you're still talking about a guy that most likely you're going to be asking to go two times through the order. So if they pitch well, five innings, maybe into the sixth, and then you're probably handing it over to your bullpen. So bringing it back to the point I've made over and over and over again, and I hedged on it more so when they lost Kyle Bradish because, I mean, losing Kyle Bradish stunk. It still stinks. It's such a shame. I mean, I had written up literally a week before Kyle Bradish gets hurt. It might have been earlier that week. I had written about just the daydream of Burns, Bradish, Rodriguez, in whatever order you want to throw them, just that upside, you know, that potential for that kind of a rotation. And to your point, are you going to be able to acquire someone that's Kyle Bradish? Like I said,
yeah, what would Kyle Bradish have cost another team from us?
Yeah,
last year?
I mean, you're talking stumped, about a lot.
And he was having that kind of year. Right?
And again, even if that guy is out there, is that team willing to move him? Right? I mean, teams aren't.
And you're not just talking about Kyle Bradish, who was young and cheap and, you know, under control. You're talking about that kind of pitcher in that kind of circumstance at any age, at any price, that can come in and do this job. Forget whether it's a Craig Kimbrel, $11 million guy, whatever it is, right? Identifying that player and identifying the dance partner. We always mention Kyle Gibson. Is Kyle Gibson an upgrade over, you know, a Kramer at this point? I don't know. I mean, certainly then you take on money as well.
Well, right. And look, that part of it, that's there, but we're completely speculative about that right now because we just don't know because the owner hasn't said anything and Mike Elias isn't going to broadcast that, right? Even if he's been assured that, yeah, you can add some payroll here. You can add a veteran contract for someone like Kyle Gibson, and that's just the example. I mean, at this point, the Cardinals, you know, compared to when we were talking about them a month ago, you know, they're in the mix in the NL. I mean, they're the second wild card right now, right? You know, a few games behind the Braves, so they're not selling, you wouldn't think. So he's not even, but that kind of guy, is there value to him for the rest of the year? Yeah, because you want to stabilize your rotation and you don't want to overwork guys and be in a position where suddenly Bruce Zimmerman's being called up from AAA because he's got to make a start because, you know, Corbin Burns has a hangnail and has to be skipped once, you know, something like that. So there are layers to this. Yeah, they want to reinforce their starting rotation. And that's why I said, you know, I wrote it last week and we talked about it last week. Dean Kramer coming back and looking like Dean Kramer is of the utmost importance. Not necessarily that that's the deciding factor in October, but it's going to help you navigate these next 3 months more easily, knowing that Dean Kramer has led them in innings over, you know, the last 2 years combined, had more pitched more innings than any other Orioles pitcher. So that's important. So you have that, but at the same time, I still will come back to the bullpen, and I'll still come back to, realistically speaking, again, if we're going to eliminate acquiring Skubal, who is my, you know, that's my aim high. That's my make the call and see what at least gets the Tigers listening to you. And again, it wouldn't be cheap because you're talking about someone who's maybe the best pitcher in the American League. You know, although certainly Corbin Burns and a couple others can make an argument this year, but he's been that great and he's got 2 more years of control. You know, so he's not a rental even, but.
Well, then you're not making a bad deal giving up a player that you're
Well,
going to
yeah.
be blocking anyway, right?
Of course,
Ortiz
but
being the example, we'd make that deal all over again, and Burns
absolutely.
isn't going to be here next opening day.
Right. And Joey Ortiz looks like he could be a mainstay in the middle of the Milwaukee order. But under the most realistic outcomes, you know, if we're looking at the range of outcomes of if the best is acquiring Turek Skubal, and the worst is getting this year's version of Jack Flaherty, which, by the way, Jack Flaherty is actually an intriguing name that's going to be out there on the trade deadline. You know, trade deadline names again, which is funny because, you know, that worked out to the point where it didn't work out at all. And Jack Flaherty wasn't in the rotation at the end of the season and was a non-factor in October for them. So, you know, so, but within that range of outcomes, and I'm assuming they'll make a move for a starting pitcher because I think they will. But most of those outcomes that are somewhere in the middle there aren't necessarily moving the needle dramatically come postseason. So brings me back to the bullpen. And I just mentioned, I reeled off the last four World Series participants over the last 2 years. They all average roughly four relievers per game. And that doesn't mean the rest of your bullpen is trash. Let's be clear about that. And I've talked about this a lot. The Orioles bullpen, if nothing else, while they lack the late inning guys that you have so much conviction that are going to, you know, come in and do what Andrew Miller did a decade ago, or come in and do what Felix Bautista does when he's healthy. But I would say that their bullpen's given them a pretty high floor. You know, statistically, their bullpen has been way better than if you just hear what fans are saying on social media on any given night. That said, I've used the magic number that I've talked about with you since spring training has been four. You need four guys that you feel really, really good about in high leverage. And when I say high leverage, that means a one-run game in the seventh inning, a one or two-run game in the eighth inning, and obviously ninth inning. So four guys. Who are those? If you had to pick right now, Nestor, who are those four guys in the Orioles bullpen?
Well,
Kimbrel,
by the way,
obviously, right?
I wrote down one note for this conversation because you and I have had long chats this week about the Cubs and the Yankees. We've discussed at length all-star snubbing and who's playing next week and your vacation and Max Pizza in Wildwood and my crab cakes at Fadley's this weekend and all that stuff. Even the great Pat Benatar being in town this week. But this is the only thing I wrote down the whole weekend that I wanted to talk to you about with trades, which was who do you trust? And I wrote this down when Cano came into the game, and on Sunday, after getting your ass kicked Saturday, 6-hour flight home, nobody at the game, you know, all sorts of weird stuff happening in the outfield for the A's. You can't see the ball and are playing routine fly
Oof.
balls into runs. All of a sudden, after all that prosperity early in the game, you look up, you got a runner on first base, you got the tying run at the plate. And I'm like, I said to Jen, I'm like, here we go. Here we go. You know,
Yeah.
that's me being a baseball fan. That's probably my father and me coming out. Here we go. That's my dad would say, here we go. And that's
Yeah.
bad. The bad carousel could happen. And you know, it turns out everybody's happy, gets on the plane, and everything's good, but I don't know. You're making a case for Kimbrel for the All-Star game, and I don't know that I on night by night basis, he comes in a 3-2 ball game and 2-3-4s coming up, that I'm feeling like, hey, we got this one in the bag, the way maybe I did with Batista or even Lee
Yeah.
Smith or you know, Zach Britton.
Zach Britton, right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you're feeling that trepidation that you just mentioned. I think a lot of fans have felt that. And in fairness, more often than not, these guys have gotten the job done. You
When
know,
you say who do you trust? I'm thinking no one.
right. Well, look, Craig Kimbrel is going to be in that group and deserves to be in that group. And you know, I've been saying since spring training, I'd like to see them have a scenario by season's end where there's a 1 and a 1A. Kimbrel can close games. Don't get me wrong. Kimbrel's been and I want to be very clear about this. Craig Kimbrel's been really good since mid-May. I mean, he's been really good. The numbers bear that out. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of what people say on Twitter, the numbers bear that out. He's been excellent
Or
since
as Joe
mid-May when
Flacco
he had
said to me over an iced tea in Jersey when I'm writing Purple
won a
Rain
lot of
2,
games.
we win a lot of games around here, dude. We win a
Sure.
lot of games around
Sure.
here.
So, Craig Kimbrel, we agree on, right? We could agree whether it's the most lockdown of lockdown guys that are out there. You know, that's a different
Well, he better
conversation.
be a part
But
of
he's
it.
been, but well, right. But after that, who are you second most confident in? I'm asking, like, seriously, I'm asking you right now.
I don't know. In any given night, maybe Webb, I guess, right? I
He
mean,
would probably be my guy, yeah. But the fact that you said it that way, and I would say it in a fairly
and then I
similar
would say,
way.
okay, we can get by with Cano. And then when you or I, it won't be me because they won't let me in this year, but if we're on a plane ride home after a bad beat in 5 games in a 7-game series and you look up, to your point, it's, you know, middle of July, the bullpen would be the reason, and it would be the
Yeah.
reason, the bullpen would be the reason, and the bats not coming to life would be the reason. And because you have to pitch Cade Povich or pitch Cole Irvin or start Suarez and they go 2 1/3, and you're losing 7-3.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I am not at all saying I don't want another starting pitcher. You know, I wouldn't want another starting pitcher. That's
Yeah,
not what
when I
I'm
talk
saying
about
here.
October
But
baseball, the hair on my neck stands up and I feel like I need a sweater and I feel the chill in the air and I see the stanchions providing the shade over the infield. Like, and you said even earlier, you're like, well, we're already making the playoffs. Dude, I've never had a conversation. This is so much fun. I almost tweeted in the
Yeah.
middle of this, like, I can't believe we're having these kinds of conversations in July. It gets me excited to get up in the morning, Luke.
Well, that's why when you started off our conversation, that's why I wanted to frame it in a, because you said Michael Elias has a lot of work to do. I don't disagree, but this is a lot of work to do, and I've seen
And
so many
maybe do
fans want to
nothing, to
be.
your point. It maybe
Well,
nothing. They better do something, though,
they'll
right?
do something. Yeah, I can't fathom they're not going to make at least a couple moves. I mean, even last year, I mean they acquired Flaherty and they got Fuji, right? Now that didn't work out, but they made
Well,
moves.
they were going to aim higher than
So,
that this year, right? And
they
aiming
need to. Of
higher than
course they
that
do.
means Mayo, Kerstad, any of these guys could be dealt.
I mean, they could be that, but I'll continue to say that doesn't mean you should deal them if what you're getting back is not so dramatically better than Dean Kramer in game three. Because again, most pitchers in playoff baseball in 2024, this is not 1991 anymore, let alone 1965, where guys are going to go the distance or guys are going in the eighth inning. I mean, you know, they're go back and look at Zach Wheeler, who's been one of the best pitchers in the National League. There have been some postseason games the last couple of years where he's been pulled after 5 innings. I mean, that's how it works.
I'm just
So
saying you're
you
going to have to give
need,
to get. And if fans think you're
right?
going to get somebody else a Cy Young candidate and you're not
That's
going to
what's
give up
tough.
Colton Cowser for that
Well,
or give up
sure.
something that they're going to, and it's not going to be Mullins or Hayes. It's going to be somebody controllable and cheap because that's the way it's going to have to be. And we're going to play through with Mullins and Hayes. And when the time comes that to replace Mountcastle or, you know, that's when Rutschman moves to first base. I'm making that up, but you're going to have to give here, and feelings are going to get hurt, and people are going to get tapped on the shoulder, and you know, the Trey Mancini deep feelings and BJ Surhaugh. I mean, like, you know, we've had hurt feelings at trading deadlines. All of these guys envision playing with a cartoon hat on their head in October with all the thoughts that I just had for the Orioles. Somebody's going to get tapped off the ship if you're going to make the ship that much better.
Well, you are, but again, you also don't do that if you're not making the ship that much better. And that's what I continue to say. And that's where I look at, you know, look, the Jack Flaherty deal didn't work out. At the time, I thought it was an upside play, right? I mean, I thought there, you know, there was a thought that he's a rental and he's in a contract year. And obviously he's very motivated to pitch well and potentially make some postseason starts, and didn't work out. But there was a play there that Jack Flaherty had the kind of upside that, frankly, he's shown, you know, he's pitched well for the Tigers this year. You know, it didn't work out, but yes, you have lots of prospects to deal, but I'm telling you, and I don't, and this isn't Luke talking. This is Luke trying to think the way Mike Elias thinks about these things and the way Sigma Idel thinks about these things. They're not going to trade premium talent for less than premium return. I mean, nor should they, but because like I said, if you do that, okay, you've upgraded over Dean Kramer, but you're still sending someone out there in game three that's probably going to get pulled in the fifth inning. So that brings me back to what? The bullpen. And that's where I will continue to bang the table and saying, if you're going to ask me to choose right now, if I had to make a choice here, if we're going to do this exercise, Nestor, where my choice is another starting pitcher or two legit bullpen arms, I'm taking the two legit bullpen arms and not even, I don't think I'm thinking twice about it. And obviously that's not a, you know, that's a false choice because they can get all those things, but they need bullpen arms. They need bullpen arms that they feel good about. In the Seattle series, remember Keegan Aiken came in, gave up the runs late. Fans were mad. Why'd you go to Keegan Aiken? You know, if you look at it statistically, Keegan Aiken, if we're going back to the top four question, Keegan Aiken, you can make an argument statistically has been one of their top four relievers. Now, that's of course with Danny Coulomb hurt right now. So that's the wild card. You know, is he back in September? How effective is he? All that. And Danny Coulomb would obviously be in that conversation as far as guys you felt confident about, because you know what, the time he got hurt, you could make an argument he might've been their best reliever, you know, all things being equal, with Kimbrel still getting himself on a roll at that point. But
you know what I'm done doing with pitching as I'm old enough to do this now? There used to be a point when I was a kid, when a guy would get injured and you would just feel like it was like they were just going to come back and be okay,
yeah,
and pitch okay. Stiff shoulder, a little soreness, dead arm period, whatever they would call all that. Now, anytime I see a Kramer go out for a little period of time, even Grayson Rodriguez with his issues in the past, I'm always super duper 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 nervous that we're just saying Kramer's back, he made a start, he'll be fine. Dude, I don't know. I mean with arms in baseball, we're in a different period here. And the more that I talk to the Dave Johnsons and the Greg Olsons and, you know, the old pitchers that I know in my life and talk about the way they trained and did things and where we are right now, I don't know. I don't think anything is a given. Even Corbin Burns, when we talk about him in that way.
Oh, and that's why when I made my comment about the Orioles are going to be in the postseason, that's making an assumption that health is going to maintain at a reasonable level. You know, I mean, if they continue to lose pitchers the way they are, then maybe that becomes a different conversation. Point is, with everything I was just saying, they need some bullpen arms. To me, they need another guy that is right there with Kimbrel in terms of can pitch the eighth, can pitch the ninth, because you know that Kimbrel can't pitch every night. And this, by the way, this road trip was a good example of that. The Orioles played a lot of close games on this road trip. You know, it was a winning road trip, but they played close games other than the Saturday blowout loss, right? So
McCann tried.
When you have that, yeah, when you have that, that just accentuates the need for, you need four guys who can do that. And look, I'm not trying to be disparaging to CNL Perez or Dylan Tate or some of these other guys who, look, those guys are going to be on at least some of those guys are going to be on the postseason roster. You're not going to add four or five bullpen arms, but what I'd like to see is them add an eighth, ninth inning guy and someone that is a seventh, eighth inning guy. So then you mentioned Jacob Webb. Look, Jacob Webb's had a really good season for the Orioles. And I mean, came in on Sunday, got a double play ball that Gunner threw away, you know, to kind of get out of that inning that would have saved Grayson Rodriguez another run there as far as his final stat line. But he's done a nice job. But I would like Jacob Webb way more if he was their fourth or fifth best reliever rather than possibly being their second best reliever right now. And that's my point. Can you get a couple guys that's going to knock everyone down a peg or two in the hierarchy? And if you do that, then yeah, that game three starter, whether it's, you know, whether it is Dean Kramer or whether you go out and get, you know, some rental, you know, Eric Fetty, and I'm just throwing his name out there. Yeah, by the way, side note, as I'm talking about veteran pitchers, I think the interesting team to watch at this point right now is the Texas Rangers. You know, and I saw Ken Rosenthal actually did an article, I think it was Sunday, in The Athletic. You know, the Rangers are 7.5 back for the last wild card spot at this point. And there's, you know, they had a little winning streak over the weekend, but they're still 6 under .500.
They'll be a late on that next week with them hosting the All-Star game too.
They've got a lot of rental pieces. And by the way, you know, they've got Kirby, they've got Robertson. You know, they've got a couple bullpen arms and also some starters for that case. I mean, maybe the Orioles revisit Max Scherzer. That was a name that was talked about last summer. Maybe that ends up being a name. And look, Max Scherzer's not going 8 innings in a postseason game anymore, but he could give you 5 or 6 really good innings, maybe. You know, maybe. That's a big maybe. I understand that. So, but, you know, there's so many names that we can talk about and sit here and anyone who's interested is Googling it and they're looking at everyone's record and they're saying, hey, you know, is this guy going to be available? What's this guy's contract status? You know, I've talked to you about some of the Rays pitchers, even, you know, someone like an Eflin who isn't having a great statistical season and is owed some money next year, but, you know, even in recent history has pitched at a high level at times. So, you know, is there someone that Mike Elias and Sig Meidel and this front office, you know, are there some guys that they end up targeting that statistically it doesn't look great at the moment, but the peripherals say, hey, we project this guy out to be better the second half of the season. We project this guy out to get himself straightened out. You know, when you look at some of the peripheral numbers, I mean, I think the Blue Jays are an interesting team. You know, do I think the Blue Jays are going to eagerly trade with the Orioles or the Yankees potentially? Maybe not. At the same time, the Blue Jays stink. They're not good. Are they going to make a, I mean, they're 8.5 back for the last wild card spot. You know, they've got some pitchers, you know, that I think the Orioles would deem attractive that aren't necessarily going to cost crazy returns in terms of prospects. So there's so many different things the Orioles could do, you know, whether it's dealing their best prospects, which I think is not likely to happen when it's all said and done, because I just don't think the Tarek Skubals of the world are necessarily going to be available, you know, for a price that you're willing to pay. And, you know, rentals, veteran players, all that, you know, that's there. But I also, like I said, I still would not eliminate the possibility of the Orioles trading a veteran player on the major league roster as part of a bigger deal. You know, if it means that helps you net a starting pitcher or net a couple bullpen arms. So, you know, I think there's just, we're still 3 weeks out. There's still a long way to go. This third wild card has just made everything. It's messy trying to figure out who exactly is going to buy and sell. But, you know, I think all of this comes back to your original point. Yes, Mike Elias has some serious heavy lifting to do, but it's fun. Like, it's good. Like, it's of the thought that you have the prospects and you have the resources and you presumably have some money that you could take on a contract, you know, the right rental or whatever it is, and augment. But, you know, they're not doing this out of desperation. They're doing this out of, we're a really good team and we want to try to be great for October. And I think they're going to have some opportunities to do that. That said, Mike Elias is going to remain disciplined. Sig Meidel is going to remain disciplined. They're not going to mortgage 2028 for this year, because here's the reality. You can make the trade that's deemed to be the greatest trade in the history of trades. It does not guarantee you a World Series. So doesn't mean you don't make that trade, but there are no guarantees. CC Sabathia way back when was an amazing acquisition by the Milwaukee Brewers at the trade deadline. Did they win the World Series that year? Nope. I mean, it's all about just trying to improve your odds, but it's still baseball. It's still the day-to-day, game-to-game, short series to short series variance. It's maddening, but it's also what makes it so fun. And that's where the Orioles will try to augment. I think they will augment. I think they're absolutely going to make some trades. Is it going to be enough in October? I still think that's going to come down to Corbin Burnes, Grayson Rodriguez, and yes, this lineup that continues to be one of the very best lineups in Major League Baseball.
Fantastic week of baseball ahead, an all-star game next week with Oriole snubs and starters and home run derby, and the Yankees are in town this weekend. And Luke and I will be convening at Fadley's at Lexington Market on Friday afternoon. I'll be there early. I'm saying 2 to 5, but the crab cakes, they suck me in. I'll probably be there by 12:30, 1 o'clock. Gold Rush Sevens Doublers, we'll have these to give away from the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions put us out on the road with crystal clear water. If you have a well problem, they have a well solution for you. You can also make your water just better, safer, cleaner, tastier, especially when, you know, this time of year, you're drinking a lot of, got to hydrate up this time of year. Also, for the cars, got to hydrate too. That's why they have Jiffy Lube Multi-Care, to make sure that on these hot days, you don't have what happened to my friends at Coco's, where the air conditioning goes down, maybe in your car, or your car overheats, bad stuff. Keep it out on the road. Jiffy Lube Multi-Care is in every community out there. We got a coupon up at BaltimorePositive.com you can download as well. Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke. He will be can be found at Camden Yards in the press box. I can be found in the air conditioning watching the Cubs here this week, Yankees in this weekend. It is a great, great summer. It's been a great baseball season. We've got so much to talk about, and we're really just getting started because it's not even the All-Star break yet. We've already made the playoffs. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking game one. At least we have a starter for that right here.